How many of you listen to Tom Hartman? So do I. Tom has strong ties to the Midwest, being born and grew up in Michigan. He spent much of his life with and for the International Salem Relief Organization, and he and his wife Louise founded a community for abused children in New Hampshire and a school for learning disabled and ADHD kids. As an entrepreneur, he has founded several successful businesses that are still operating. But where we know him most is his public persona. He is a New York Times best-selling author of 21 books in print in 17 languages on 5 continents.
That introduction was by Mark Pocan.
It seems to me that there is a fundamental moral shift happening in America, and it's one that we need to be paying attention to. The fundamental moral shift is that we once in this country had the notion, and it really is rooted in the founding of this country. In fact, it even goes back before that. It goes back to the early 18th century, mid-18th century, the Enlightenment. Thomas Jefferson, one of the great Enlightenment writers and, of course, creator of this country. The idea, Jefferson wrote into the Declaration of Independence, that people should have the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, what's happiness all about? Happiness was, in their mind, intertwined with freedom. So what does freedom mean? This moral shift in America has been a functional redefinition of what freedom means. This has been an ongoing process ever since, largely out in public, ever since Ronald Reagan was elected. It has been going on in private, from long before that, from the Powell Memo in 74, from the Goldwater implosion in 64, arguably all the way back to the founding of the Republic. There have always been royalists among us. There have always been elitists among us. There have always been those among us who functionally believe what Thomas Hobbes wrote about in Leviathan back in 1630, whatever it was, that the basic nature of humans is evil, and that's why you have to have the iron fist of church or state ruling people, because without that, prior to that, the natural state of man would be for life to be angry, brutish, short, poor, the whole thing. And the Enlightenment, this whole movement that created this country, was a pushback against that notion that we had to have elites running things. Or the Calvinist notion that you have to have elites running things, and by the way, they should be the elites selected by God. The British coins still have a 4, R, X, something, something on them, and it's Latin for she rules by the grace of God, the Queen. This idea that royal families, that royalty has to be, ordained by God, and we must figure out who is it among us who's good enough to rule. Well, how do we know who's good enough to rule? The old Calvinist notion, the old royalist notion, was that, well, of course, obviously, the people who are rich are the ones that God loves the most, and so they must be the ones to rule. And that was one of the fundamental notions that was actually conventional wisdom in 1776 when this nation was founded. And a bunch of people who arguably were rich, but arguably were not, actually. The average wealth of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence in today's dollars was in the neighborhood of $500,000 or $600,000. This was the upper middle class. This was not the super wealthy. The billionaires in today's dollars who were in this continent left during the Civil War or during the Revolutionary War or were driven out. They went to Canada or back to the UK. We didn't have a millionaire in the United States in today's dollars until 1797. It took that long. So for some time, we were a fairly egalitarian country. We're seeing that change. So in many ways, what we're seeing in the whole Fitzwalkerstan worldview, in the whole Koch brothers worldview, is and the right-wing rationale that you'll hear on hyper-right-wing radio constantly, is that ancient moral vision, that ancient flawed moral vision that led to kingdoms and dynasties and empires ruled by an elite few with virtually no middle class other than a small middle class of maybe the, the doctor, the lawyer, and the shopkeeper, and a huge class of the working poor. This is what Paul Ryan wants to take us back to. This is what John Boehner wants to take us back to. This is what Eric Cantor wants to take us back to. This is what every single person on the stage in the Republican debates wants to take us back to. Ron Paul, the guy's 30 years old in a coma. What should happen? Well, he should be free to die in the damn gutter. As Ron Paul's own campaign manager in his 2008 campaign, working for the campaign, Ron Paul did not provide health insurance to his campaign employees. This guy got pneumonia, went to the hospital, died 2 months later, and left his family with $400,000 in medical bills that 3 years later are still unpaid. And the Ron Paul campaign is going, well, he's free. See, that's the new definition of freedom. And so it is so important that we redefine back to the notion that we held in this country for so long, that freedom means something more fundamental than simply not having the government in your face. Franklin Roosevelt in 1936 said, "A necessitous man is not a free man." You're not free if you're homeless. You're not free if you're hungry. You're not free if you're sick and there's nobody who will care for you. You're not free if you're smart enough to get an education and you can't. You're not free if you're willing to work and there's no work available. You're not free under those circumstances. And this is the great battle in America right now. And make no mistake about it, it is a moral battle as much as it is a political battle. Is the notion of what does freedom mean? Does freedom mean that you have the right to die in the gutter without health care? Or does freedom mean that if you get sick, that you have the right to decent quality health care like every other civilized nation in the world? Does freedom mean that you have the right to work 2 and 3 jobs, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, you and your spouse and your kids all together in order to pay the mortgage and hopefully pay maybe for some health insurance? Or does freedom mean that if you just graduate from high school and you're a decent citizen and you put your nose to the grindstone and you work that 40-hour week and you keep your nose clean and you do well, that you have the right to a wage that is good enough that you can actually raise a family, buy a house, have a car, take a vacation, and have a pension? Does freedom mean that if you don't happen to have been born into a family wealthy enough to put you through college, that you therefore have the right to go so badly in debt that for the next 20 years of your life after you graduate from college, you're going to be paying off that debt? Or does freedom mean that, like most other civilized nations in the world, you have the right to an education, our most important intellectual infrastructure, a right to an education all the way up to an MD or a PhD for free? Does freedom mean that when you retire, if you because of circumstances that in all probability were totally out of your control, the circumstances of your birth, the circumstances of the world economy, the circumstances of where you were born, because there are very poor areas in this country, the circumstances of your race, the circumstances of your religion, whatever. Does freedom mean that because of whatever those circumstances may be, when you retire and you are poor, that you have the right to live in poverty and die early? Or does freedom mean that when you retire, regardless of the circumstances of your life, you have the right to a dignified old age, to be one of our wise elders? Does freedom mean that we have the right to be exposed to carcinogens in our air because some corporation decided that they wanted to pump more crap into the air because it was more profitable, to be exposed to cancer-causing and pathogens in our water because, gee, let's privatize the water, or there just isn't the budget. We can't tax the rich people to pay for this. Or that our food should be entirely run, you know, our entire food production should be run by a handful of small industries that are creating a nation of malnutrition and horrors, or does freedom mean that we, the people, have the right to get together and say, you know, we're going to create this thing called government, the first three words of the Constitution, we, the people, and we're going to make sure that while it's possible for people to operate and run businesses within our community, that they're not going to mess with our air and our water and our food. Which is that freedom? Have you noticed that so much of the infrastructure around us was built before Ronald Reagan came into office? Have you noticed that? Does freedom mean that we have the freedom to sit around and watch our nation crumble in front of our eyes? Bernie Sanders was telling the story yesterday at Ed's house about how a guy in a town in Vermont, where the floods had just washed out, and they'd washed out a water pipe that had to be replaced, and the guy held up the water pipe and showed it to Bernie and said, you know, this thing was built by a guy who went on to be an engineer in the war. Bernie says, okay, what war are you talking about? And he says, I probably shouldn't tell the story. Maybe Bernie will tell it later, but that'll just make it better. And the guy says, he went off to fight in the Civil War. Do we have the freedom to watch our nation crumble as all of our money is diverted into tax breaks for billionaires and subsidies for oil companies and transnational corporations? Or does freedom mean that we have the right to live in a nation that has a functioning infrastructure? I believe it does. I believe that is the definition of freedom. Does freedom mean that we have the right to have our, in our retirement, and not just retirement, throughout our life, to have our savings, whatever we can save, safe and protected? Or does freedom mean the Republican vision of destroying the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that Elizabeth Warren fought so hard to create so that the banksters can steal all our money again? I think not. I think freedom means the right to have security in our economic system and our banking system rather than rule by banksters. Does freedom mean that business should be allowed to get as big as it can so that we find ourselves in a situation where six financial institutions control 60% of the wealth in this country, where basically every industry you name, pick one, transportation, food, media, publishing, you can go right down the list. There is not a major industry in this country that is not now more than 70% controlled by fewer than six corporations. That is not competition. That's monopoly. That has nothing to do with competition. That has nothing to do with free enterprise. They hide, as Franklin Roosevelt said in 1936, he said, they hide behind the flag and the Constitution, but in their blindness they forget what the flag and the Constitution stand for. He said, we must stand up to this kind of power. He said, these economic royalists complain, this is from his speech in July 27, 1936 in Philadelphia, he said, these economic royalists complain that we seek to overthrow the institutions of America. What they really complain about is that we seek to take away their power. And our commitment to American institutions requires the overthrow of that kind of power. On the radio, I talk a little softer, so. Does freedom mean that when you watch television, or by and large listen to the radio, or even public radio, that you will never hear a conversation about how George Washington, the first thing he did when he was notified that he had been elected president, was send his old friend Henry Knox off to Connecticut to get an American-made suit, that our trade policies have been ripped apart since the 80s, that we've seen an absolute disaster, that we used to protect small businesses and manufacturers in this country. That just in the last decade, as Bernie points out, we've lost 50,000 factories. We've lost millions of manufacturing jobs. Why? Because we used to have tariffs. We used to have trade policies. In 1935, Franklin Roosevelt passed a law called the Buy American Act that said that anything the government buys, anything the federal government buys, including the Department of Defense, must be sourced from American manufacturers. That law is still on the books. It has not been enforced since the 1980s. It needs to be enforced again. So is it freedom when we have a media that will never discuss the fact that tariffs, that is taxes on imported goods that make more, you know, that encourage manufacturers to stay in this country, the tariffs paid for 100% of the cost of the federal government, the salary of every president, member of Congress, member, the whole shoot match, the Army, the Navy, everything from the administration of George Washington to Abraham Lincoln, that paid two-thirds of the total cost of federal government from the administration of Abraham Lincoln to World War I, that paid a third of the federal government, and by that time it was getting pretty damn substantial, from the end of World War I to the end of World War II, and we're paying up to 20% of the cost of federal government by the time Reagan came into office, and now it's less than 1%. Is it freedom to have a media that never, not only doesn't discuss these issues, but will actively boycott anybody who goes on those media and talks about those issues? I think not. I think freedom is having media that will talk about the insanity of our trade policies and advocate for protectionism in America. Is it freedom to have our tax dollars pay $3 billion a year in subsidies to companies like ExxonMobil that last year was the most profitable corporation on earth and paid no taxes in the United States? In fact, they got a $400 million rebate. Or is it freedom to say to these very large corporations, if you want to do business in our country, you get, and you want to use the commons, and you want to use our courts, and you want to use our roads, and you want police protection for your buildings, and fire department protection, and you want an educated workforce, and you want the benefit of this nation, you're going to have to pay part of the damn price. Is it freedom when we, as Mark was talking about, when we discuss that there are, when we discover that there are organizations like ALEC, where they sit around, where a bunch of corporate fat cats sit around with state legislators and literally vote yes or no with an equal vote with the state legislators about what laws are going to be brought up in the state legislatures around the United States, so that America becomes more and more and more third worldized, more and more of this country is devastated. Is that freedom? I don't think so. I think that freedom is when finding out that more than 90% of the legislation in the last Congress, in this Congress, that has been introduced in the House of Representatives was actually majority written by lobbyists. I think not. I think freedom is going back to the days when our legislators were responsive to us because our Supreme Court, this is before our Supreme Court decided that corporations are people and money is speech. I think freedom is a nation where we say corporations are not people and money is not speech. So, having said all that, I want to be brief today. You have a number of great speakers, and the core point that I want to make, and I'll summarize with this, is that when Jefferson wrote life, the right to life, I think today, you know, the healthcare debate is an important part of that. We saw the antithesis of that with Ron Paul in the recent debate. The right to liberty. Liberty, we just went through this list of what does freedom mean. We need to recalibrate that. We need to re-understand that. And most important, we need to teach the generation that doesn't remember what America was like before Reagan came into office. We need to teach them what this country was like, those of you who are old enough, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and even the 80s before Reaganomics really took hold, when you could walk into a local strip mall and every store was family-owned, sometimes three and four generations back, when, you know, before the giant monopolies took over, when Reagan stopped enforcing the Sherman Act in 82, leading to the mergers and acquisitions mania. We need to be educating people. We need to be waking people up. We need to be fighting that moral battle, because the right is. They're out there every day in every venue on every media possible saying freedom means basically the right to die in the street like a dog. And that is absolutely wrong, and that's our biggest job, is to say, you know, that right to pursue happiness, that right to the freedom, that commons of the government that we created that is such an extraordinary and precious and exceptional thing about America, we need to hold that and strengthen that. And the idea of destroying government so that corporations can step into that vacuum is fundamentally anti-American and un-American. So, each one of us has to carry the message. Tag, you're it. See you again. Thank you.